When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who cares? Can you go back to your shot really quick? There was, those white things were around the neck of that person's.
Well, can we say that? Can we say the white things are around someone's neck?
I can.
Well, yeah.
Because I'm white.
It's for show.
And Mexican.
Shit, that, yeah, you're mixed race. That makes you a minority.
Yeah, so I can like be a racist.
Minority owned business here.
Mm-hmm. Women.
Cut that out.
No, I've got that. Yeah. You haven't started yet, right?
Probably.
We're rolling.
Shit.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Hello and welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. It's going to be a fun one. What's wrong with Jesse? I don't know. She doesn't know.
That's the overall purpose.
The therapist
of the show.
Doesn't know. You know what I mean? Doctor doesn't know. Why the fuck would you know? Don't
you
act
don't
like
know
you
me.
Know what's wrong with me. Anyways, we're here.
Yeah.
Bow.
Did you say the name of the show? Do we still do that?
Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Yeah.
Welcome to it. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I got that part.
Crime juice.
Okay,
you got crime juice?
Yeah, I got
crime
a little juice. Crime
juice. Joel, you have?
Crime juice.
Colonial juice.
Colonial juice.
Colonial juice.
And he's got a footman over there.
Yes, he's got a footman. What'd you name him? Paul Revere?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if anyone needs a beer, shake your can, look him in the eyes, turn around, pull your pants down, shake your tail feather, turn back around, give him a wink. Like a fist bump to
the butthole. Excuse me, sorry.
Fist bump his butthole, and then he'll bring you a beer.
Bring you one beer.
Paul Revere.
Paul Revere.
Right?
Yeah, Paul Revere of beer.
Paul Revere.
Paul Revere of beer.
I feel like that takes a little bit longer than just standing up and getting one myself.
Nah. But,
okay, well,
no.
I'm gonna try it at least once.
Can't leave Yeah.
Yeah, you're being crazy now.
You're locked in. You're not allowed
to
be. Oh,
shit, I forgot my shift just started.
Yeah, you're at work.
I'm clocked in, ready
you're
to go.
You're on the fucking clock. Clocked and locked. We have a fun one today. And don't worry, it's not kids. We're not dealing with kids. We're dealing with
Thank
the opposite
God.
Of kids, right?
Does someone die?
Joel.
Well, it's a crime
switch.
Show. It's not a murder show.
You're fucking Paul Revere now. Switch. You're going to be fucking fist bumping buttholes, okay?
Got to change clothes, too.
Yes, people die.
Okay. I'm just prepping myself.
We're
That's
technically
all.
Dealing with a serial killer.
Yes.
But it's different, right?
Yeah. Diet Coke is serial killers.
Right. It's different.
I love Diet Coke.
You're going to love this one, then.
This case is brought to us by Captain Fantastic. What's his...
Sick. No, that's his name. What a show. We got Captain Fantastic and...
That's my brother.
Cindy
Reza is the Insta name. But Captain Fantastic... Wait, you're not going to say his name?
I don't know who it is.
Okay.
Do you say his name? Cindy, I've never met a male Cindy before.
It's 2024.
I thought it's like a joke. Okay. Well, Cindy. Reza. So, hello. Not sure if this account is monitored or open to case suggestions. Yeah, we get to it. Right?
Eventually.
We get to it every once in a while. This was in February of like 2 years ago, probably. but I love your
Prime
show.
Porn wasn't even a thing at that point.
Right. I love your show. Thank you. Would like to float out the case of Elizabeth Wetlaufer.
Oh, God,
if there's the other thing about this case that's going to trigger people is the names in this case are worse than any other case we've ever done.
Even the foreign cases that we've done.
Oh, yeah.
These are like the worst examples of American names I've ever seen.
Right.
But oh, no, not American. Canadian.
They're Canadian.
Okay, thank God.
So in Canada, as we suspected, they do what we do, only like worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a case out of Canada involving repressed homosexuality.
True.
Everything we love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Religious trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, fun.
Familiar
flirty.
With that.
Uggo on elderly crime.
Hell yeah.
One of our babes.
It's my favorite Pornhub category.
Bad poetry. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I mean, that's subjective.
And farting during the interrogation.
And that's what sold me.
Fighting and farting. Says all the flaws in Canada healthcare and criminal justice, which is true. So the
this is
of
their
time,
description still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was good.
It was good, right?
Sold.
That's
sold.
Why I read it, because I was like, you know, in the beginning, we kind of tease it a little bit, letting you know all the things we love that are going to be in the case. And I think that, like, it covers it. It's enticing. It's on brand.
Very much so. That I actually got really excited about writing this one out.
Right?
I had a lot of fun with this one.
Great.
Had a lot of my favorite things.
Dude, that was a great description from Cindy.
From Cindy.
Cindy Captain. Captain Cindy.
Cindy Reza, Captain Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. We're loving it. And like we said, it's not kids. It's the opposite of kids.
Okay? That's good.
Yeah, because you can almost... I'll say it. So
yeah.
A lot of the people that die in this case, you go, You know what I mean? You're not going to be devastated, right?
I mean, two of them in particular, they were dead just a couple weeks after anyway.
Gosh, I mean, if they had their wits about them, they would have said, kill me now, right? Right?
If I were in this care home, I'd probably want to die anyway. I do not want to end up in a care home.
No.
That is like a fate worse than death, in my opinion.
Oof.
Nursing home? God, no.
So are you gonna hate little Elizabeth Wetlaufer for anything other than her horrible name?
Wetlaufer.
I don't know. I know, Wetlaufer.
I've already got a very strong opinion about her, and I think it comes through in the notes. I'm in love with this woman. She's exactly my type.
Coop is in love. And this show is going to be a love letter to her from Coop. Coop, kick it off, buddy.
James Silcox was a classic example of a member of the greatest generation. Hey, we're,
is that the
we're talking
did we
about
start
a
off with
here.
Like,
already another
it's already
fucking
the
name.
Worst
right?
name. Nothing rolls off the tongue. Nothing makes sense. You go, what?
Silcox?
Silcox. It's
supposed to be Wilcox. They
right.
get everything wrong in Canada.
That's the thing. It's Canada. It's like they take everything that we do that's good and make it just a little bit fucking annoying. Gagare! James Gagare! Yeah.
James Gagare served with distinction in the Royal Canadian Army Service Corps during World War II and managed to not only survive the experience, but did so without committing any war crimes.
Oh, James.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with the military history of our neighbors to the north, they have a habit of treating the Geneva Conventions as a to-do list instead of a set of rules. Essentially, if you're in a war zone and you smell maple syrup, just start running.
Yep.
Or pray for a swift death.
They're worse than us?
Debatable.
Look.
I mean, Canada's not going to beat us at anything, so... Mr. Wilcox went on to marry the love of his life, Agnes Bond. and the couple had a brood of six denim-clad hockey enthusiasts.
By the way, take her last name.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? Now she's Agnes Silcox?
As opposed to him being James Bond?
Right?
That would have been
Hello?
Cool.
Hell yeah. Their story seemed to be on track for a classic happy ending until James took a tumble and broke his hip in the mid-2000s. Why is that funny?
I like the usage of tumble.
This is like an 84-year-old
yeah,
war
like,
veteran.
Because when you're 84, you could just like step down a stair weird.
True.
And get your affairs in order because you're about to die. Yeah.
The war veteran's family was too busy to look after him, so they lovingly dumped him in the Crescent Care nursing home so they could focus on drinking Molsons and eating poutine. Not long after that, James Silcox passed away.
Shame. You know what I mean? But...
He died?
You know what
long,
I mean?
Long, happy life, war hero.
Yeah.
84 years old, you kind of expect it.
Yeah, it'd be like the grandkids or whatever is like... You know, my grandpa passed away. Oh, you know.
Oh, shucks.
I'm sorry about that.
Like, oh, really? I thought he already
died.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss, though.
Yeah, like he was in a home. He was almost 90. Like, we haven't, like, had any meaningful interactions for years.
Really? Lived long enough to get in the home? It's been a long time since we've caught up on our families lately.
Right.
I heard that those old people homes are like crazy. That they're fucking each other all the time.
Those are the retirement communities.
The good ones, yeah.
Yeah, the nursing homes aren't fuck fests, the retirement communities.
Okay.
Yeah. So the people fucking...
are the employees.
Right. The people fucking in like a nursing home are, the staff with the...
Oh, you think so?
Torturing the patients.
A retirement community where people are just like, look, basically what a retirement community is, like, I don't want to see any kids or families, right? Like, I want to just be around other people my age. I want to drink, take pills, wear a muumuu, drink a martini, whatever.
They honestly sound, the communities
exactly
sound pretty
right.
awesome. The nursing homes... Okay, I get what you're saying now. Yeah, in nursing homes, if anybody's doing any fucking,
it's not good.
The residents might be involved, but it's
the staff. I get
it's
it.
Yeah. By the decision of the staff.
Right.
Oof.
I mean, that
seems dark to me.
Oh, I was going to say,
it's dark.
I'm looking a little bit more towards retirement at this point.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Right? The death of a retiree in a nursing home isn't really suspicious. It's the second most common cause of death for the elderly in Canada.
Death by nursing home.
Yeah.
On the death certificate, the cause of death just says nursing home.
Yeah, I mean, they're really not great places, right? You put people in a home because it's like you don't have... you know, medical grade bed and IVs and shit at your house, but like, it's not a great situation, but you have someone to take care of your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, whatever, because you really can't do it.
Yeah. You don't care enough to take care of your elderly family
to
member
get
anymore,
an
which
in-home...
I wouldn't want to do that shit either.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I think it would be a whole lot easier is if they just like, once you walk through the door, you look at it like, I'm sure you guys have seen the setup in like a slaughterhouse for cows. Walk in.
Conveyor belt,
you know,
right up
bolt,
to the...
Bolt through the front of the forehead. Right. They go down. You just push them off to the side, bring the next one in. And then you just tell the families like, oh yeah, they're having a good time.
Yeah, in effect, with all the drugs they give them and shit, it's kind of what they're doing.
Nursing homes are so fucking depressing.
So it's not uncommon, obviously, for someone to die in a nursing home. Following closely behind freezing to death in their homes in Canada due to the inflated cost of heating oil and natural gas. If there's one thing Canadians love more than apologizing, it's proving that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Ain't that the fucking truth?
I had to hold back so fucking much.
So good.
This intro was initially like... close to two pages long.
of just fuck you, Canada.
Shitting on Canada, yeah.
Yeah. You do love
Canadian
do love,
government. I like Canadians, not French. Yes. Canadians, and I just dislike the Canadian government.
Right. I like the ones that are smart enough to like move here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're like, ah, okay. A lot of my, you know, favorite comedians, Canadian.
All the good ones.
Hugh Sadly, Jackman. The death of James Silcox was anything but natural. It was murder. After surviving the war against the Nazis, James had met his demise at the hands of a fellow Canadian. But who would have the means, let alone the motive, to kill a sweet old man? As we will soon find out, he was yet another victim of the Canadian healthcare system.
Boom. Mic drop.
Blam. We're not even going to talk about the serial killer. It's all going to be like, we're blaming it on Canada.
And he had
we're
to talk about Nazis.
Say the name. Yeah.
And he mentioned Nazis already. We're only, you know, 15 minutes in.
I got to stay on brand.
Yep. Okay, technically, he was the victim of a sociopath with bipolar disorder. But if we didn't take the opportunity to make fun of Canadian government, we couldn't call ourselves American.
True.
Right?
That's true.
It
Absolutely
is
true.
It's our favorite pastime. It's one of the cornerstones of our, you know,
our childhood.
Our democracy?
Democracy, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Culture.
Culture.
Democracy, right?
Republic.
That's a thing, right?
Democratic Republic.
During the summer of 1967 in Ontario, Canada, Doug and Hazel Parker brought a sweet little angel of death into the world.
Aww.
They named their new bundle of joy Elizabeth May Parker. That one's a good one.
That's a good name.
Gosh, like I would have stayed with that,
it's
huh?
It's like one of the only normal names in the entire show.
Exactly right, and it doesn't stick. The Parker family had all the staples of a classic Canadian household. Doug Parker was a dedicated Christian and staunch homophobe. Hazel played the role of homemaker as well as being a doormat for her controlling husband. Very little happened in their home without Doug's permission. Isn't that great?
It's my boy, dude.
Sounds like a
traditional nuclear family right there.
Right, sweetest part of the story, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely, by a long shot.
You know, you think with all of that, you know, good traditional values that they have, what could go wrong, Coop?
You would think so, but
right.
I mean, as we'll find out, we're dealing with a bit of a troubled child here. So Elizabeth was a troubled child. Awkward and shy, she struggled to make friends. This was further I'm expecting you to read the more complicated complicated sentences,
right,
so I put big words
okay,
in there.
Okay, I'll take it.
Oh, no, I got it.
Okay.
This was further exacerbated by the fact that her father disapproved of the one childhood friend she did have, an effeminate boy named Glenn Hart. Doug was concerned that he might catch the gay from the young Broadway enthusiast, so he forbade Elizabeth from seeing Glenn. The two were forced to keep their friendship a secret.
Like...
The colonial
Lastro's
guy keeps
little,
saying hell
Lastro's
yeah.
Lastro's little chime-ins.
The colonial
have been
guy.
So good.
It's not his name today.
Sorry, the colonial? the patriot?
The patriot.
The patriot, yeah. He keeps saying hell yeah every time there's anything anti-gay.
Like, hell
the
yeah.
most fucked up parts.
Yeah.
So in school, Elizabeth exhibited all of the feminine qualities of the average girl from Ontario. She was the goalie of the school field hockey team.
God.
Nice. Played in the band, and was sexually attracted to women.
And chose Home Depot over Lowe's, as we know.
Also, like many other socially awkward teenagers, she dabbled in poetry. The following is one of her award-worthy poems. So this is actually one of her poems. She wrote it later in life, but I couldn't find any of the poems from when she was a teenager, because the internet wasn't around back then.
Sure.
Can you do a Canadian accent?
Oh, God, no.
For sure, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can.
It's like
Minnesota kind. No.
Well, I feel like I can do a Minnesotan accent, but Canadian is just like slightly different.
Canadian is only certain words, right?
Yeah.
They can sound normal American, but with certain words, they'll be like, it's off the fucking rails, right?
Yeah, I'll just do Minnesotan. Actually, that might make it better.
Well, yeah.
She watches some of the life drain from the notch in his neck vein, you know?
Damn.
Okay, the you know isn't in there.
Heartwarming.
As it soothingly pools, it smothers her pain.
Oh, okay.
Sweet stiletto so sharp, it carves another cut.
All right.
Obeying a call, she moves to his guts.
Okay, that's beautiful, huh?
Don't you know?
Jesus.
You almost became an Irish pirate again.
I know.
Poetry.
Like, anytime I do an accent, I just default to half-ass
Irish. It slowly turns
into Irish
pirate.
I thought he was going to be like, all right, I'll do the best accent I can, and then just talk in his normal voice and do it.
Yeah. Well, take it back. Let's do that again.
All right. It out.
Sadly, nobody appreciated Elizabeth's artistic talent, and she was forced to pursue a more stable career. I get that. Initially, she wanted to be a journalist, but instead chose to pursue a degree in counseling at a Baptist college. So her dad, we mentioned it briefly earlier, but we should probably kind of stress how overbearing and hardline religious her dad was.
Yes.
So her friend Glenn Hart, just the fact that it's not like Glenn was openly homosexual at that age back during the 80s in Canada. His dad was just like, yeah, he's a little fruity.
Right, or he just wanted to act. And that was, like, enough.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he wanted to be in a play, and that was it. And I think we should also say at that time, Elizabeth had already known that she was, like, or are we getting to that?
We will get into that. But that is something that's a struggle, like, throughout her entire life.
So she already at this point kind of knows that she's attracted to women.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, very next sentence.
Sorry.
While she pursued her degree, she also pursued the hot college co-eds.
Yes.
God bless her for it. That obviously didn't sit well with her totally not a homo father. He had been keeping tabs on her while she was in college, and after learning that she had attended a gay-friendly church service with one of her fellow softball enthusiasts, he had her sent to a pray away the gay camp.
Damn. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. As the patriot would say.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
When she was attending, was that the London college that she
went to? That was the second one that she went to. The first one that she went to was the Baptist College. Yeah,
okay.
The London college was the one that she got her, it wasn't a nursing degree, it was, no, that's where she got her nursing license, was the London college.
Okay. Do you say in here, I can't remember, that her dad actually started taking classes?
Okay, I was trying
to... college? That's how overbearing. I think it's at this Baptist because he said he wanted to be a.
So he was at the school at the same time as.
So
as
he
her?
He like when he heard that she was, you know, hanging out with girls or whatever, he like started taking classes at the college and was basically like, "What up? Like, even in college, you can't fucking."
I'm watching you.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I wonder why his poor wife was a doormat.
Right.
Like, this guy, you can't imagine how overbearing this guy was.
Right.
Pray the gay away.
Pray the gay away. Pray the gay away.
It's too bad they made Peaches change those lyrics, because then she would have really had a message in that song.
Seriously, Dad. As we all know, gay conversion therapy has a 100% success rate.
Living proof.
Living proof. Everyone in this room is living proof, huh?
Hell yeah.
And Elizabeth was cured of all her shameful urges, obviously, as you are. With her brain no longer clouded with fantasies of getting fisted in the back of a Subaru by a flannel-wearing lady lumberjack, she was able to pursue a degree in nursing from Conestoga College. What? Conestoga?
Yeah, Conestoga.
God, I mean, every fucking name in Canada sucks, except for Canada.
The fact that we haven't wiped them off the map at this point.
And what a great, name of a country. Canada.
Easy to say. Huh? Makes sense.
Every fucking name that comes out of that goddamn country.
Don't even get me started on provinces.
Please?
Are you shitting me?
I mean, talk to this guy about it, right?
Let's call them states.
Nursing from Conestoga College. From there, she became a member of the deadliest institution in the Western world. Socialized healthcare.
Wait, that's not what I wrote. No, I totally wrote that.
No, I fucking totally wrote it. It should come as no surprise that Elizabeth eventually caught the attention of a male suitor. After all, she had all the qualities of a good Canadian wife. A stocky frame capable of performing manual labor. Multiple layers of insulating fat to help survive the harsh winters. And a double chin that even the most vicious wolves could not bite through. It was these qualities that earned her the affection of a truck driver named Donnie Wetlaufer.
Oh, God.
I mean, my God. Can we do Parker? Hey, hon, can we do my last name? No.
I don't think that Wetlaufer could have been said any better than the way that you just said it.
Coop.
Great writing, great delivery.
I know.
That was beautiful.
Coop. What a team we are, right?
Yeah, I think we do.
What
a really...
thruple we are, huh?
Oh, yeah.
No, don't.
What do you call
Joel
a quad?
A quad? Quadruple?
Do we have a name for that now?
Quadruple?
Quadruple?
Gang.
It's probably
gang.
From Canada, right? That name?
Yeah. Sounds Canadian.
1997 was not only the year that Paul
Verhoeven.
Verhoeven.
You know where I'm going with this, Joel.
Starship Troopers?
Paul Verhoeven released the blockbuster film Starship Troopers.
Yes!
It was also the year that Donnie and Elizabeth tied the knot. After waddling and wheezing their way down the aisle, the portly couple began their life of marital bliss. Now listen.
This is the best writing you've done in a long
100%.
Time.
I'm passionate about Canada.
Yeah,
really passionate about it. Canada, Coop's when back, he has dude. To write something bad about Canada, a light just turns on.
If I could get paid to just do that, I would be a multimillionaire.
Also 1997, didn't we go down that rabbit hole? I think you might have been here. Of like all the amazing movies that came out. 97?
13th Warrior, same year.
Wasn't it Nicolas Cage's year?
No, we already did this whole thing
I know,
on
I'm
a
just
crime
saying,
corner.
I'm just saying. Was
it's
it
great
not?
Great year for movies.
But wasn't it a great year for Nicolas Cage in particular and movies? Okay.
Yeah.
And you didn't believe us that Face Off
and
Con Air came out in 97.
And Starship Troopers and 13th Warrior. That's a good year.
Okay, I still don't believe that Face Off and
Con
Air came out.
Oh, God. We're not doing this.
Look,
we're not
moving on.
We can't do it again.
Talked about it before.
We cannot do it again.
You're not changing my mind, all right? Two completely different years.
That's very American of you, by the way. You show me all the facts, but I'm not fucking
changing
my
mind. I'm not changing my goddamn mind.
Go ahead, Coop. What's up with these newlyweds?
As newlyweds, they faced many of the trials and tribulations that most young couples are presented with. Elizabeth was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and almost died from an overdose on her medication. She then had her nursing license restricted after being caught stealing painkillers from her patients. Restricted, not revoked.
Yes, for like a pretty short amount of time.
Yes.
It's like a suspension that's not
even
that long.
A very Canadian amount of time.
Sure.
Is what I would call it. Everything would have worked out in the end had it not been for Donnie getting all bent out of shape when he found out his wife was developing a relationship with a woman she had met online.
Uh-oh.
Donnie,
just
what's the problem? You know what I'm saying?
Everything up. Come on, Donnie. See, that's something that Donnie didn't understand, mm-hmm. is when you land a woman like that, you have to make some concessions. You're dealing with an alpha female at that point, and she's going to have multiple people pursuing her.
Absolutely.
You just got to be okay with it.
Yeah, if you're gonna make her, you know, shovel the snow, you might have to fucking deal with her female relationship,
you
right?
Might have to deal with her shoving her fist in another woman.
But also, like, why not Donnie? Why not just be like, all right,
bring her in?
But I have some rules, right? Just like a Canadian.
Canadian.
Husband. I have some Canadian rules. You do it in my house. In front of me, right? Did I do a good Donnie?
Yeah,
that was a
perfect
Donnie, Canadian
right?
accent.
I can see him doing that right now.
Right, right. Listen,
in front of me.
I saw your fucking little chatty chat messages to your lady. There was many things Donnie was willing to overlook in his marriage to Elizabeth: the mood swings, drug abuse, and the fact that Elizabeth. sweat like a marathon runner despite sub-zero temperatures. We're all a part of the package. Infidelity, however, was the maple leaf that broke the moose's back. Sorry, I should have said that. Straight face, but I couldn't. In 2007, Donnie and Elizabeth divided up their hockey memorabilia and went their separate ways. Is this Sheila that we're talking about that he finds, or another lady?
No, I couldn't find anything that said that Sheila was the specific one that she was the developing the relationship with, but a relationship did develop out of that.
But it was just online, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how he found it. Because back in the day, you know, you didn't know to hook and delete the cookies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You live and you learn.
Yep. It goes without saying that Elizabeth wasn't single for long because she was swooped up by another sexy single. As we stated before, she was blessed with being the standard for beauty in the Great White North. The societal views on homosexuality in Canada had become somewhat more accepting in the early 2000s, meaning Elizabeth was no longer shackled by social norms. This time, it was a prison cafeteria worker named Sheila Andrews that caught her interest. Yeah. After a whirlwind romance, the women got married and moved in together. Is that true?
Yeah, they moved in together and they eventually got married.
Okay.
Well, are you against that or something? You're
against,
gay
marriage?
Yeah, that was
no,
really
not against
weird...
it.
You
I
got
don't.
Super pissed. Well, just
you're
now.
Walking that
no,
back real
I
quick there,
know.
Mike Pence.
I didn't know.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Did that happen?
Yeah, yeah. They lived together and they got, I don't know, in 2006, 2007 was, I'm sure gay marriage has been legal in Canada since like 95.
People would go to Canada for that gay marriage.
Okay.
Why are you so upset?
Strike two, Canada.
I don't understand why Jesse's so upset about this.
I'm not upset. So what I heard is that Sheila and her had a relationship online for a really long time. When they finally met in person, Sheila was like, what the fuck? This girl is crazy. So at the airport, she was like, we're getting married. And Sheila's like, okay. They hung out a little bit.
I'm in love with Elizabeth Wetlaufer.
Because she had never been able to like do this, she was literally like a child that was like getting to, you know, hang out, like finally meet someone in person. Sheila was like, she would hung all over her, was like super weird, clingy. And then they were supposed to go back to Sheila's house. And she was like, I took her to a hotel because I didn't want her to know where
shit.
I lived.
Pro move.
And she was like, super weird. She finally was like, dude, I can't do this. And Elizabeth like fucking freaked out. And Sheila was like, what the fuck?
I'm going to marry this woman.
And then they got married?
Yeah, they weren't together for that long.
Right, that was the beginning, and I guess maybe they rekindled whatever. So after a whirlwind, they got married and moved in together. Around this time, Elizabeth got herself a job at a nursing home called Crescent Care. Right?
Again, what the fuck, Canada?
Again, what the fuck, Canada?
Crescent.
Right?
Crescent
Care in Woodstock, Ontario. You may recall that this was the very same long-term care facility that James Silcox had been sent to by his family. I'm sure you can see where this is going, huh?
I wonder if the two are connected somehow. Elizabeth was a woman with an abundance of urges and very little willpower. Her drug abuse had already put her job and her relationship at risk. According to Sheila, Elizabeth also had a difficult time controlling her temper, which often led to childish outbursts. Her darkest urge, however, was something she called the Red Surge. And this is real creepy, the way that she talks about it.
The Red Surge.
But this is where I that she's self-aware.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we were talking about that right before the show, and it is really weird how the way that she describes everything, it's almost like the way that a drug dealer or a drug user talks about using drugs. It's like, I know it's bad for me, but I just can't stop.
Yeah, and she's addicted to drugs too.
Oh, God.
So it's like she has that and the Red Surge.
The Red Surge? What the fuck is
that? Yeah, what's the Red Surge, Coop?
Hey, thank God she was beautiful, though.
Yeah, I know.
Does it happen once a month?
What the fuck, dude?
Wait, the Canadians don't have periods?
Oh,
please!
Nailed it.
I am so angry at myself for not thinking of that joke when I was writing the notes.
Don't you dare, Coop.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said that. I was like, is he doing a period joke right now?
I should have.
I thought of communism. Yeah,
the Patriot thought
of
communism.
Of course the Patriot one.
For sure.
It was this so-called Red Surge that resulted in the death of James Silcox, and he wasn't her only victim. In the year of our Lord, 2007, Elizabeth gave into her Red Surge for the first time. Tensions between her and Sheila had been building, leaving Elizabeth with a need for an emotional outlet. Although she had continued to write poetry, her nonsensical ramblings weren't enough to release the passion within her. She needed something more. She needed to end somebody's life.
That would do it.
It works for me, usually.
Yeah.
Sometime around June of 2007, Elizabeth injected 87-year-old... Oh, we talked about this name, too.
The
Jesus
worst
Christ.
Name in the whole thing. Ready? Go.
Clotilda Adriana.
Clotilda!
Clotilda.
Clotilda. Can you think of a... If you were to just be like, what's the worst fucking name you can name any woman ever... Clotilda.
Clotilda.
You could literally like write that out on any part of the female anatomy and be like, oh, that's a Clotilda right there.
Right?
Like, oh, yeah, sounds about right.
Exactly. Oh, the inflamed Clotilda.
Oh, I had to put my dog down the other day. Her Clotilda got inflamed.
Oh,
that couldn't
man.
Do anything about it.
Tale as old as time.
Clotilda.
God. Oh, Adria. Adriano?
Adriano's
Adriano,
okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that a dude?
No, Clotilda that's Adriano. That's her last name.
That's weird. I don't like that. Not together.
Despite already being older than dirt and in poor health, Clotilda miraculously survived the ordeal. Being a long-term care facility for the elderly, it wasn't uncommon for patients of Crescent Care to mysteriously become ill. Due to this, no investigation was made, and Elizabeth carried on with her life without being questioned.
So should we talk about how she did this, Elizabeth?
So actually, yeah, let's get into that.
So she was addicted to, she was in the perfect field to be addicted to opioids, right? Tale as old as time, you take it, that, you know, say that the patient's getting it, you get it, whatever. Then they started because of the, you know, influx of people finding out that if you, you know, get into the nursing field, you can pretty easily just take people's stuff. They started cracking down and they have, you know, the things that we have in place now, which is like every medication needs to be, you know, clocked, recorded, needs to know who it's going
Someone's
to, when,
it,
just
a shit,
keeping
yeah.
track of it.
Another strike against socialized health care.
Right. So then she couldn't just take it anymore. So now she had to give them something else and take that, right?
So do you think that it wasn't attempted murder at first? It was just replacing what she wanted with what she had?
I think in the beginning, but when she was doing that, it was like saline. Mm-hmm. Do you know when it was like, oh, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah,
then she just, whatever, the red surge. So most of these people at this point,
time would come.
Yeah, most of the time, these people are pre-diabetic, if not diabetic. Mm-hmm. So she gives them, you know, insulin, high dose of insulin, and basically just walks out of the room. Because if someone else, you know, you give them insulin, there's someone else there or someone else checking on them, they can intervene and fix it. But if you are there giving them the insulin, they will just slowly die and it won't be detectable. Right.
Slowly
so this
die,
was
as long
her
as
kind
not
of
Tilda, apparently.
Right. She was 87 and dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these people are dementia. Why? Because if they say that a woman came in here and gave me something,
like, uh-huh,
people are either going to think they're crazy or they won't remember it anyways.
I just watched a video on that. There was like these nurses got caught like beating up old ladies that had dementia. Because the grandma's, the grandkids
what
of the grandma.
What do you mean you watched it?
I don't know how I came across it on YouTube, but it was like a clip of it. And they're like, these grandkids hit a camera in their grandma's nursing home. And it was a white woman and another race of two
mm-hmm
women.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like slapping her and like pushing her and holding her down by her face and like being super mean to her. And then she would just forget.
Fuck.
That's how they were getting away with like slapping around an old white woman. You've seen that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, I got so fucking pissed.
Seriously.
Like, fuck.
But you realize that your recommended videos are based off of your search history?
Yeah,
and,
no,
because
of this fucking show, my entire
search
history.
Oh, yeah.
Is fucked.
Because he has to look up shit to put on the thing. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Wink.
Yeah, it's like Britney Spears music videos. And then grandma's getting jumped.
Yeah. Yeah. Less
right
than
industry.
2 months later, the red surge struck again.
A month later, huh?
Less than 2 months later.
Well, okay. So we'll say, so this didn't, it didn't work with
clitoris.
I want to say like clotidal.
What was her nickname?
Not.
Like, if she was around long enough where her friends had a nickname for it.
Claudie.
Claudie, dude.
Claudie,
or
dude.
Just Chloe.
Big clit. Clot. Let's call her Clot.
Clot, dude.
Here comes old Big Clit Clotilda.
Yep. So we'll say, too, in this, it didn't work.
Hmm.
Someone else, another nurse came in and was like, realized that she was having some kind of diabetic seizure, essentially, or everything that was happening was because of blood sugar levels, and corrected it. She lived again, but didn't remember. Then she tried on the sister.
That was about at least a few months later.
It was a few months later. Okay. So less than 2 months later, the red surge struck Elizabeth once again, and this time it would prove to be fatal. First kill, dude. Her target was 84-year-old James Silcox. After failing to kill her first victim, Elizabeth increased the dosage of insulin she practiced. This was enough to end the life of a World War II veteran. He was found dead in his room at the care facility on August 11th, 2007.
Oh, no.
I think it's important to say, too, James was a little bit of a dick at this point.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
You're telling me that an 84-year-old grumpy man is going to be an asshole?
With dementia?
Oh,
is going to be an asshole?
There's no way.
So he liked to grab boobs.
Yeah.
Somebody from the greatest generation?
I know.
Come on.
What the hell?
And by greatest generation, you mean when you could just grab boobs and no one could fucking say shit, right?
Yeah.
He was just going around grabbing boobies.
He was, look, The other thing that happens in these facilities, you walk through the halls, it's going to be a lot of yelling. It's going to be a lot of racial slurs. It's going to be a lot of, you know, grabbing people.
He doesn't know he's doing it, right?
Doesn't know he's doing it.
Okay.
So he says.
But on the face of it, it's like,
he's like,
fuck you, dude.
Yeah,
right?
Get the fuck off me.
When was
and
the last time?
You're a lesbian. And this is like your dad looking you in the face. You know what I mean? It's like she.
Putting him down.
I'm not going to say he deserved it. He didn't. Is it okay at that advanced stage of both disease, age, everything?
If he was suffering at
that
all?
That James Nye-Nye. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you let an old dog suffer?
No.
No.
So why do we treat dogs better than humans?
Look. The problem is, like, it'd be different. And there are cases like this. Of mercy killings, right?
Mm-hmm.
There
please,
are people
mercy, kill me,
like
please.
Nurse, you know, killer nurses or whatever that are end like in their mind a little bit, or they can use the mercy killing type of argument because you're just like, this, it was not a good life.
Mm-hmm. He's fucking suffering. Put him down.
Suffering. And he doesn't even know he's suffering. He doesn't even know, even if he tells you, I want to die, it's in a crazy fucking rant. And nobody, you're not of sound mind to say, I want to die, right?
Oh, yeah, seriously. If I ever get to that point, please just take me out back and shoot me in the head.
Right.
Even if I tell you I'm happy.
They would arrest me.
If I tell you I'm happy, I'm lying and I'm
delusional. Exactly.
Put me down.
Exactly. And it's a shame that, like, the only way that you can really go through the steps to end your own life is, like, you have to be clear of mind. So you have to do it before, you know, you get a diagnosis, you whatever, you have to be like, this is the only time that I can do this. Unfortunately, right? Because when you're actually suffering is when you're not clear enough to be able to do it
so
in
we
a
gotta
legal
write that
way.
Shit now. We got to like write down now in our will to kill me if I get dementia to the point where I don't know anything and I'm going crazy.
Or you could do like a, right? a DNR do order, do not resuscitate kind of thing.
But you don't die from dementia. You just go crazy.
Especially if you're in a nursing home, they will keep you alive
that's
and drugged up
from.
And basically just like.
And see, that's another difference between the U.S. and Canada is in Canada, you have to get permission to have somebody else do it for you. Here in America, we can just do it ourselves.
Right.
Plenty of guns around.
True.
So true. Elizabeth's relationship with Sheila had continued to deteriorate, which seemed to cause the red surge to come more frequently. She would later claim that after taking the life of one of her victims, she would feel an intense surge in her chest, accompanied by maniacal laughter. In her own words, she felt the surging and heard her own laughter that was, quote, like a cackling from the pit of hell. Holy she also shit. Described it as like orgasmic. It was like this buzzing through her body.
When she's talking about it in the interrogation, she keeps like motioning towards her chest, like how it's this overwhelming feeling that she gets. And she hears she's not like laughing out loud. She just hears herself cackling in her head.
Whew.
From the Mayflower.
Ah, yes.
Thank you, sir.
In December of 2007, the red surge struck again. And I think it's safe to say, too, like, she is really trying in between. Like, she knows she has a problem. She knows it's like being addicted to drugs, which she's tried to stop, too. She's tried to stop all of these urges and addictions.
Yeah, and that is a good thing to point out, is, like, through this entire process, she is struggling with drug addiction. She's stealing painkillers from the patients, like, through the entire 7 years that all of this is going on.
Yes. Ugh. So Elizabeth injected 84-year-old. She hates an 84-year-old, huh? 84-year-old Maurice Granat? Granat?
I think it's...
Granite?
Granite. It's another one of those fucking
I've
Canadian
got...
Names.
Who fucking... I mean, Canadian. Maurice... dumbass Canadian last name with insulin. This resulted in Maurice having a stroke and becoming bedridden for the rest of his life. As before, the stroke was attributed to the fact that Maurice was 84 years old and no investigation was carried out. This seemed to embolden Elizabeth, who struck again later that month. So we're going through a surge.
It's almost like, you know, when you read about other serial killers, sometimes they'll go just like into beast mode where they'll have very
spread
out.
One right after the other. Yeah.
And then they'll get to a point where it's like within a very short period of time, they'll just go to town. Mm-hmm. Like when Ted Bundy went into the sorority house.
Yeah.
And just went buck wild for a while, which is probably a pretty insensitive way to put it. But
sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of different people that if they have the tendency to kill, sometimes they'll space it out, and then they just got to go for it every now and then.
Elizabeth's first poisoning attempt on Clotilda.
Clotilda.
Click function had been a failure. It would seem she had a grudge against this particular family because in late December of 2007, she injected Clotilda's
is even better.
I'm like a little bit dyslexic, so it's like
Clotilda
is what I see. It's Clotilda.
Clotilda. Ugh.
So you injected Clotilda's sister, 87-year-old.
Here's another
albina.
One.
Albina. What? I don't know.
Albina.
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 Albina?
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 I would think Albina?
Demiderios? I could not live in Canada.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyways, she did her normal thing, large dose of insulin. Albina was obviously made from the same strong stock as her sister and survived the poisoning.
For the next 7 years, Elizabeth continued to sporadically poison residents of Crescent Care. She waited until 2011 before going on a killing spree between the months of October and November, where she claimed 3 more victims. All of the patients died from a fatal overdose of insulin. Her second fatal poisoning occurred on October 13th or 14th. The victim was 87-year-old Gladys Millard.
Millard?
That's a little bit
she
more,
doesn't let anybody get past American, 87.
She Miller. Does have a very specific, not just age range, but even the dates that she commits the murders on. It seems like she goes for the 13th for at least a handful of them.
Hmm. It's like a cycle or something.
Before the month was over, 95-year-old Helen Matheson was found dead from what was attributed to natural causes. Roughly 2 weeks later, on November 7th, 96-year-old...
As soon as I say she doesn't let people get past 87. Now, 95, 96, what are you doing alive?
That's true. That's fucking old.
I mean, my goodness.
Okay, seriously, though, who wants to live to be that old? Right?
Maybe she's doing God's work.
84 is like...
Past 60 seems
87,
like
I think. That's a good time to...
If you're still in good health, then yeah, sure. It'd be a good time to go, but I don't know.
If you have your wits about you, there's a, in town, they did a, because we have the solar eclipse, right? Total solar eclipse. There's a guy, 105 years old, they talked to on the news. Because he's like the second time he's going to see this, like, whatever, total solar eclipse. He's subtitled, but looking spry, right? He knows the eclipse is coming. He knows when it is. He's excited for it. He pulls out his little, you know,
is
lawn chair, talks to the news, flannels buttoned, walking.
That's what's up.
So then you go, okay, you're 105, but okay. If he was in a nursing home not knowing what the fucking eclipse was, you know.
He'd be dead already.
Would he want to even be there?
It's time for Elizabeth Wetlaufer to show up at that point.
Call Wetlaufer.
But I mean, seriously, when was the last time that any of you guys have been to a nursing home?
Long time.
Never.
I went to one out in College Station about a month ago at this point. It's fucking depressing.
He just goes there to feel better about himself.
I know. We don't want. Do we ask? Do we ask?
Don't even ask.
Don't ask.
Don't ask. You don't want to know because I know.
Met a girl.
You know?
On,
okay. What?
I met a girl on Hinge.
Which, okay. Okay, you can tell
they
me.
They do
after.
Still have the internet there.
Yeah. Age is just a number, Jesse.
And that was a very large number. Elizabeth wasn't visited by the Red Surge again until 2013. On the 13th of July, 90-year-old Helen Young, which that's kind of an ironic name for a 90-year-old, became the next victim to die from an injection of insulin. Once again, the death was attributed to the fact that she was 90 years old. The angel of death was free to kill again. And 3 years later, that's exactly what she did.
Damn.
So she did take a 3-year break at this point, which it's kind of.
And we should say that she's getting infractions, I guess, at work because of drug-related mistakes all throughout this.
How many of those can you really get as a nurse before they just revoke
before they're
your
like,
license?
Well, but you're like, this is your only job really here. Like, we know you can change a diaper. The drug part is like really what you're special at, like really why we have you here and not someone else, right? So what are you doing?
Well, in the drug infractions, that was more instances of her taking
kind of mixing stuff up, or
it's like, oh, whoopsie, I mixed up the Percocet.
Right, and they said
the
that she was always like very apologetic, took responsibility for it. I'm so sorry, and so they would just kind of, you know. All right, that's another...
Sweep it under the rug kind of thing. But, I mean, really, how many times?
I think also because it's hard to find people...
That will do that job.
That want to fucking do that job, dude. Really.
Yeah, true.
In a real, like, true and good, morally, you know, doing it to actually help people make money, you know... Hard to probably find. Not nurses. I'm saying in a nursing home, dealing with all of that. Dementia. Everyone has dementia. They're grabbing your boobs. They're yelling at you. You can't. You know what I'm saying? So if, you know, she mixes up a couple drugs. Okay.
In a way, she's a hero is what you're saying. Like, she's a hero.
She's
doing God's work as well. She's saving lives in a way.
I'm saying it without saying it, right?
Putting people out of their misery is what she's doing.
I'm saying it without saying
it. It is a really good point.
Because I know
point.
Joel
how do you,
will say it.
How do you find people that are willing to do that kind of job?
Right.
Clean up old people shit all day? No, thank you. 2014 was a rough year for our neighbors to the north. Canadian crooner and world-class fuckboy Justin Bieber had just been arrested for assault. The Los Angeles Kings had won the Stanley Cup, and to make matters worse, in less than a year... Blackface enthusiast and Fidel Castro love child, prove me wrong, Justin Trudeau would become prime minister. It was in these dark times that the writ... Right?
Okay, go.
It was in these dark times that the Red Surge visited Elizabeth once again.
Sometime between March 22nd and 28th, Elizabeth claimed another victim.
Oh.
Her youngest yet, 79-year-old Maureen Pickering, suddenly fell ill and died soon after. Only a few months later, on August 23rd, 75-year-old,
she's getting younger now.
Calm down.
Yeah, really.
Elizabeth. 75-year-old.
Oh,
just yeah. say it. Right. You say it, Coop.
Arpad Horvath.
Dude.
Arpad.
That's the best
Arpad.
One. Arpad Horvath?
Why didn't Apple think of that? Arpad.
I don't know if that's a male or a female, but
who
either
knows?
Way, their parents hated them.
Who
Arpad
knows?
Arpad Horvath?
Horvath.
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 Vath.
V.
Horbath is something different. Yeah, you wash yourself with wet wipes in the bath.
Arpad Horvath
Jesus
would
Christ.
Follow suit. Thankfully, they would be the last fatal poisonings carried out by Elizabeth Wetlaufer.
Oh, shit. We should do a toast to this guy then. Crime
how
juice.
How many fucking names?
Here's to Arpad Horvath.
Here's that. Horvath and a Wetlaufer.
Oh, God.
Crime juice.
Canada's not winning any points.
When Elizabeth described the red surge as an uncontrollable urge to kill, she was actually telling the truth. Throughout the years that she had been poisoning patients, she had reached out multiple times for help. She had confessed to friends and family that she had been murdering patients, but nobody took her seriously.
What
At one fuck? Point, she even confessed to a lawyer who responsibly advised her to not tell anyone or she might get caught.
Whoa.
Proving once again that lawyers have...
are awesome?
Yeah, yeah.
What lawyer is that? Because that's the lawyer I want to get.
Now, by the way, that's the lawyer you want, the one on your side, right?
True.
I hear you. Don't tell anyone, right?
But, and I mean, come on. He has the opportunity to stop more murders
to
from
be a
happening.
Rat? And, no.
Or to fucking make more money from the client, dude. Yeah. What? Where are you?
Okay. All
what
right,
are you
all
talking right. about? Proving once again that lawyers have justifiably earned their reputation as moral shitbags. Yes, right? That's the thing. When these people are defending innocent people, you don't think they actually know what the real story is?
You know, I saw a video the other day of a criminal defense lawyer talking about defending clients that they know for a fact did something wrong and they 100%. Still have to give them defense.
They're just trying to find in the law where they can get him off, right?
His justification for it was, well, if let's say somebody kills a cop and they get shot in return, cop's dead, the criminal comes into the emergency room, are the doctors not going to treat him? Are they just going to let him die, or are the doctors going to treat him? It's like, okay, yeah, true. That's this guy just flat out, some lady called him and said, hey, I can't stop killing people. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Don't
just
tell anybody.
He wasn't even getting paid for it. He's just like, dude, just keep it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell the cops. Keep your mouth shut. It's going to be fine.
Right. Right. That's a horrible analogy from that guy, by the way.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
You got to do your job no matter what.
I'll take the defense of like, look, I'm here to defend the criminal justice system, right? Which is like, if something happened to them along the way, from no Miranda rights to a fucking whatever, I'm here to make sure that for people that really didn't do it, that we uphold these things, even if the person is guilty, right? I'll take that kind of response over that dude's. Anyways,
that would be believable. Pretty much what he was saying. He was saying it without saying it. He's like, "Oh, dude, fucking the money's good. I'm just trying to get that bag."
Yeah.
But what if, you know, when you do that, what if you find out, oh shit, somebody is setting him up, and you find out that it is true he didn't do it because you did all the work when everyone else is saying, oh, he's a murderer, he fucking did it, and then you do the work even though they don't deserve it. And you find out that it was all set up.
Well, yeah, I think they have to. I think, not a lawyer, obviously.
True.
But I think they have to. They have to assume that they're innocent, even if deep down they go, "This fucking guy did it. Girl did it. Whatever." I think they have to go, let me pretend that he didn't, and find the way that I can prove that. Right.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then you're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, if you try your best and you still can't prove they're innocent, though. Then they fucking did
always,
it for sure.
By the way, any good lawyer will tell you, you can always find something. Some way, some story, something to defend them, right?
It wouldn't be until September of 2016 that Elizabeth's confessions would be taken seriously. After years of struggling with drug abuse, she checked herself into a rehab facility where she once again confessed to murdering her patients. This time, her claims didn't fall on deaf ears. It wasn't easy, though. In addition to informing the staff of the rehab facility, Elizabeth also sent a 4-page confession letter to Center for Addiction and Mental Health in Canada. So like the owners of the rehab facility, she sent a 4-page letter to them outlining what she had done, what she was struggling with. That's finally what got them to be like, oh shit, she's telling the truth.
And I think when she got fired too, the last time, they sent something to the board or whatever they fucking have in Canada, right? And that was never really looked at or followed through on. They're like, we have suspicions that this person not only has all these infractions, suspensions, that she's actually doing this possibly on purpose. And they were like, yeah, we'll get to that. We're Canada. Do you know what I mean?
Too busy. It's hockey season.
Look.
Elizabeth Wetlaufer was arrested on October of 2016 and immediately confessed to all of her crimes. During her interrogation, she informed police that she had poisoned 14 victims, eight of which ultimately died. It was also during this interrogation that she made the most chilling confession of all, which was captured on video.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No shit.
And before we play this recording, be warned that this isn't for the faint of heart.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm probably going to pass gas.
So, as far as Mr. Soapbox goes, then, besides what you're feeling in your stomach.
I'm sorry, I'm probably going to pass gas. That's fine.
She ripped ass.
You can barely hear it. She said, if you didn't hear it, again, explicit, but I'm sorry, I'm going to probably have to pass gas soon. And then she farts super loud. And
that's a big girl, too.
The investigator.
She is a big girl.
That's a big girl, right?
I thought you were fat.
She's a strong woman.
I thought you were making jokes, but you were fat shaming.
Small interrogation room.
I said nothing bad about
it. This is the interrogation that they put, you know, interrogation room that they put you in to really feel like you're cornered, right?
Yeah,
you have no way out. They both can barely fit in there.
That's crazy.
And
she turned the tables on the cop.
And she said, I'm sorry. I'm probably going to have to pass gas soon. Dan did.
And boom.
And he said.
Bass drop.
He said.
It was pretty much her saying, I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me.
So he said, as far as Mr. Silcox goes, as far as what you're feeling, besides what's in your stomach, what you're feeling. So he's having fun with it too, huh? Yes. He said, as far as Mr. Silcox goes, how are you feeling besides what's in your stomach about...
Beautiful. There goes
because
my hero.
Because I'm sure he was just like, you motherfucker.
You fucking... And that shit stank. You could tell.
He was really polite about it, though. He was like, okay, go
Canadian.
Ahead.
Canadian. So...
That room stinks right now.
Oh, buddy.
How long did it stink? Probably like 20
minutes.
That was
the most, and it was
they had to rebuild the building.
The whole exchange was so polite, wasn't it?
All of it was, yeah.
The whole interrogation. Very polite.
Mm-hmm.
And she confessed, yeah?
Yeah.
And it was just pretty much, which she had been trying to do, by the way, for years. It's almost like she wanted to get caught. and no one would fucking put her away. And finally, when she was like confessing, she's like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I feel like the only way. So following her confession, Elizabeth was charged with 8 counts of murder, 4 counts of attempted murder, and 2 counts of aggravated assault. In June,
and 1 count of passing gas in front of
yeah,
police
and
officer.
1 count of being a little bit rude.
Well, that's ultimately what got her, because in the I think it's the Canadian Constitution, it says she who smelt it dealt it.
Mm-hmm. And no farting indoors or something like that.
But then it's also followed up by a little subline that says, she who denies it supplied it, and that's what ultimately sealed
the case. Then there's
another
amendment that says, if you warn someone it's about to happen, you know what I mean? If you give no warning, the punishment is
death.
Death, but she obviously
she narrowly
gave
avoided
the warning.
The
hey, I'm sorry. I'm probably gonna have to pass gas soon. By soon, I mean now. June of 2017, she pleaded guilty to all counts and waived her right to a preliminary trial. Later that year, she was convicted on all counts and sentenced to 8 life sentences. With a possibility for parole after 25 years. She is currently incarcerated at a secure facility in Montreal where she is receiving unspecified medical treatment and surely praying that she doesn't have a nurse like Elizabeth Wetlaufer, unless she's feeling frisky. So, yeah, so what I was saying is that she was... she ended up saying was like the only even in the interrogation is like, I feel like the only way that this is going to stop is if you arrest me and I'm in prison, because otherwise it's not. So there are, like I said, she's self-aware. She knows what she's doing. She knows when it's coming on. She doesn't really want to do it, but it's an overwhelming feeling. And she wants to stop. She thinks every time she gets caught that it's going to be it. And they just go, no big deal, because she's in Canada. And she's like, man, if I was fucking in America, I'd be fucking locked up.
Are you talking about the farts or the murders?
All of it.
I'm sorry.
We don't
know
how much
jokes.
Now we know in the interrogation, how much was she farting all around the fucking nursing home and everywhere?
Oh, literally, while I was sitting here, while you guys were talking, I was thinking about that. I'm like, God, she must have just been like fat,
ripping
and gross and stinky. She probably didn't shower for weeks sometimes.
Well, you're in a nursing home.
She had bad
Who cares?
Well,
you're not gonna know any Who different. Smells worse than you? The patient?
Oh,
Who
man.
Cares?
Yeah.
She was
if
ripping,
you don't bathe them,
ripping them in front of her patients.
Yeah, if you're not bathing them, if you're not changing their diaper, have at it. Live your life.
Getting revenge.
All you got to do is you just turn down their hearing aid, do what you got to do, turn it back up, and nobody knows about it.
Can't turn down the smell aid, dude.
That's your last sense to go. All those 80-year-olds
yeah.
smell.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Right as they're going, they're like, God damn
God
you.
Damn
you
it.
Know what I mean?
God damn you, Clitora. Wait,
yeah, Wetlaufer.
Clitora.
Oh, that's someone she killed.
I call her Clotidal, but she's actually Clotilda.
I think all the names that we came up with are better than her actual
exactly.
name.
Exactly. But, you know, she's probably, she's not a, she might not
alive?
Be, she might not be hating the women's block, if you know what I'm saying. You know, yeah, finally.
Yeah, maybe she's getting
finally
at peace.
She
finally
can, you
found
know.
Herself a good lumberjack. Lady Lumberjack.
Lumberjane.
Lumberjane. Sorry, Lumberjane.
Oh, is it Lumberjane?
Mm-hmm.
First time I've heard it, but I'm all for it. God, imagine the size of those hands.
And she may be like, look, I can't do the crazy shit that I'm finally clean. I'm not killing people. And I've got a girlfriend. It's sad to say. I don't want her to be happy. She killed a bunch of gam-gams.
Well, that depends on if she unless she saved them. Maybe she was picking the ones that were really sick. We don't know.
Yeah, I think some people were trying to kind of
maybe they were like, "Hey, I am going crazy, but right
honestly,
now I'm not crazy and please kill me when you can."
Honestly, she could have gone that route. She could have even said, you know, in the confession that it was mercy killing, but she never did. She was always very honest about why she was doing
why she picked him? Like, how she would pick her victim?
No, it was just the
red surge, according to her.
It was like, let's say you want to get heroin. You're not going to, like, somebody comes with some heroin, you're like, nah.
Keep that one alive because I want that drug.
Well, you're not going to be like, nah. No, that one looks good, but it's not like exactly what I want. So I'll wait for the next drug dealer to maybe fucking show up
Let's not go to this drug dealer. Let's go to the good drug dealer. Right. We'll drive to the other side of town.
When you're jonesing, you'll take whatever fucking shows up at the door, right? And I think that's what it was. Yeah. Whoever was there felt like she could get away with it, that's what was happening.
Yeah. I bet you she never killed any of the ones that had the medication she liked, though. Because I had to keep coming in so she'd get hers, right?
Yeah, it's actually a good point.
Very good point.
But, I mean, she probably could have gotten into the room where
because maybe these people, because they were dementia or didn't have need pain meds or something, they were like antipsychotics or pills that she just wasn't fucking into, right? And so she's like, you gotta
go. Yeah, who the fuck would take antipsychotics? Those aren't fun.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, she was like, none of your drugs that you need to take... fun.
The patients that drugs are the ones she killed.
Yeah. The ones that were like still, the hips still hurting, you know? They need the opioids. You're like,
you're
I'll keep you
alive.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, I hope she finally has figured out what she's into, you know?
I hope she's found her peace.
Yeah, I hope maybe she might be, you know. Maybe
she's not murdering.
Maybe she's fisting. Maybe somebody's fisting her. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe somebody's prolapsing.
There it is. I really hope that her and Sheila work it out.
I hope it works out for her, huh?
Yeah.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.